his wagon. The little shit was holding me up by the shirt and slapping me while he growled something about waking my ass up. I was sitting up beside Smoke when I opened my eyes. I was soaked with sweat. I was shaking. One Eye demanded, "What the hell is the matter with you?" "I'm not sure. Soulcatcher, I think. It was sort of like when I used to fall through time to Digigore, only I kind of squirted like a sugar melon seed right off to somewhere in the Delta. I knew what was happening, but I couldn't control it. In a way, it was like walking with the ghost, but I couldn't see very far." I realized I was babbling Intaglian yet. I managed to bite down on it. "We'll talk about it later. I've got work to do." I opened my mouth to protest. "You want to talk, go see Croker, or do whatever else you want. But get out of the way, I'm not kidding about the work." Angry, I clambered out of the wagon. It was daytime out there, just as it had been in the swamp. There was a lot of smoke. There was plenty of noise from the front, where the situation seemed to be static. There was not much chance the old man would take time out to hear about my misadventure. It did not affect what was happening right now. I went over to the campfire. It had gone out. In fact, it had gone cold. Where were Ty Day and his mother? Where was Uncle Doge? Not here. I found water and drank, wondering how long it would be before the water supply became as critical as the food. I napped. Eventually, One Eye completed his business. He came out and sat beside me. "Now tell me about it." I told him. "You might have learned something important this time, kid." "Like what?" "I'll let you know after I talk to Croker." Chapter 28. I was an Ifrit, buzzing behind Mugaba's shoulder. He and his captains were rattled. Long Shadow exhorted them to stop embarrassing his warrior empire.
"Somebody pour mud in that idiot's mouth," one of Mugaba's few loyal Nar growled.
"What a cretin,"
I agreed. A cretin with a hearing impairment, apparently. He did not respond to the most direct provocation I had yet heard from any of those who served him. Mugaba pretended to hear nothing himself. He watched the cliffs. Vicious, incessant fighting continued there. Our troops worked the attack in shifts. Mugaba's men were unable to do so themselves. He had almost no reserves. There was little hope in his eyes as he sent his commanders back to their units. But he was a soldier's soldier. He would fight until he fell. Just like he had tried to do at Dejigore. He had us by the short hairs if his troops went to eating each other in order to outlast us. Our siege towers crept forward like tall, slow ships. Our elephants and surviving camp followers pulled them using cables passed through blocks attached to the steel spikes the elephants had planted earlier. When the towers finally stopped, soldiers brought mantlets up to fill the gaps between. Protected by the mantlets, engineers began erecting a wooden wall. Missiles left the towers in swarms. Mugaba had no engine powerful enough to penetrate the coverings on the towers. He had to do something. The Shadow Master forbid his doing the one thing that would have helped. Long Shadow was worse than any spoiled child, stubborn as a rock. Things were going to be done his way, and that was that. Mugaba was not going to take